agree on this? Is that good? Okay.
Well, good morning, everybody. If you'd join me in prayer. Father, we are so thankful that you have helped us to know you, to see you, to commune with you, that we might be in your hands each and every day. We pray for your Spirit to be with us, to indwell with us, to help us to know you better, to grow in our knowledge of you, and to help us to love one another, to have hope of the glory that you promise us in the future. We thank you for this time together. We'd ask that you help us to turn to your word now to learn more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to be taking a look at the book of Colossians. And there's a couple verses here that I really want to bring out, in that it seems to be a theme throughout Colossians. And it talks about Paul's thankfulness. And he also urges us to be thankful. And he says in Colossians 3:15 through 17, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." The letter of Colossians has some incredible descriptions of Christ and beliefs of his deity. But all of that is there to support us in our thankfulness to him because of what he's done and who he is. So I'd like to go through some of that. In the letter of Colossians, Paul's urging a response, your response to who Christ is. A response of heartfelt, joyous, overflowing thankfulness to God. The same joyous, overflowing thankfulness that powered Paul's life, even while he was imprisoned. In my study of Colossians, I was helped immensely by Colossians 4:7-8. And in that it says, "Tychicus will tell you about my activities." So this is Paul writing. So Tychicus is going to tell about Paul's activities. "Tychicus is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts." And I've read that passage and I've wondered, what did Tychicus say? We don't actually have Tychicus' words, but I'm going to ask that for the next 15, 20 minutes, you imagine with me that I am Tychicus and that you are the Church of Colossae. And I'm going to try to give what I think Tychicus might have said based on what I see in other scriptures in Acts and based on Paul's state of mind when he wrote Colossians. In it, I see that Paul's behavior whenever he was imprisoned is a framework, and what he describes in Colossians is a framework for what he does. And the answer I see on how Paul does this when he's in prison is that he's just thankful to God. And that's the same thing he's urging to us. Jason read for us earlier three passages. I didn't tell him this, but now I'm going to tell all of you. There's a quiz that follows that. What was common about those three passages? Was it about that looked bad? He was imprisoned in all those passages. How many of you want to be in prison? wasn't exactly something on your plans. And yet here is Paul, imprisoned. What else was in common about all those? Judy hit it. It kind of turned out good, but that turning out good was based on Paul's behavior. If you look at Paul's behavior, he's been beaten in the first one, he and Silas. They've been put into stocks by their feet, held by their feet. And what are they doing? They're singing hymns. They're praying to God. There's an earthquake. All the prisoners are apparently freed. They got someplace to go. Where does Paul go? They stick around. Wait a second. I'd have been out of there in a minute. Paul stuck around. And what did he do? He's got a jailer that knew enough about him to ask, how can I be saved? And Paul explains to him, believe in Jesus. He spends time with him, and his whole family comes and is baptized and believes. In prison? What are you doing? How does he do that? In the second letter, Paul is in prison. What does he do? He calls for the leaders of the Jews to come to him. And then he starts preaching from the Old Testament. He preaches Christ. He shows them how Christ is present in the Old Testament. Some of them believed. Some didn't. Didn't discourage Paul. Paul goes on and starts preaching to the Gentiles. He proclaims the kingdom of God. And he teaches about the Lord Jesus. And the third one, in Philippians, he's still in prison. And what's being talked about? He's advancing the gospel. The guards that are watching him are starting to learn about Christ. Christ is being proclaimed, and Paul's rejoicing in that time. In all of these, he's behaving in a way that is testifying to unbelievers. He's behaving in a way that I would describe as impossible. And yet, for him, it was possible. How did he do it? Well, Paul had a deep, abiding thankfulness to God that directed his every step. It's that thankfulness I'd like to examine today by looking at Paul's letter to the Colossians, a letter he wrote while he was imprisoned. His thankfulness is not just a word. How often do we say, thank you? It's a word. Do we mean anything? His thankfulness is rooted in knowing that God has brought us, has reconciled us to himself. So how can we go from a word, thankful, to a response that just emanates us from us, like Paul? Because it helped me, I'd like to take you through an imaginary path, that of what Tychicus tells the Colossians about Paul. As I mentioned, we don't exactly know what Tychicus said, but staying faithful to Paul's writing, as I've been mentioning here, we can imagine what that message would be like. Again, I'd like for you to imagine that I am Tychicus and that you are the church at Colossae. I've just come from Brother Paul, who is imprisoned. I've come with Onesimus, whom you know, and who was also serving Paul, who had run away from his master, Philemon. But Paul, being faithful to our Lord Jesus, has sent Onesimus back to Philemon, his earthly master. He sent him back in all love and confidence that Philemon will treat Onesimus as the brother in Christ he is. Paul has commissioned me to update you on how he is doing and to deliver a letter from Paul to you, his beloved brothers in Christ. It's been a long journey. Some people are rumoring that Paul is under house arrest in Rome. Some people believe that I haven't traveled that far and he's really in Ephesus. Where Paul is physically doesn't really matter. So I'll leave you to guess. But how Paul is doing spiritually, that's what matters. As I mentioned, Paul is in prison under house arrest. Physically, he's not free. But spiritually, that's all that matters to him. He is free and in constant communion with Christ and our brothers. He is so encouraged when brothers, like your own Epaphras, come to visit him and tell how Christ's gospel is working in your lives. Paul just can't stop talking about the gospel. It just flows from him. Paul constantly remembers Christ and his work and Christ's preeminence in Paul's life so that he can endure the chains of imprisonment with all joy, knowing of the love of Christ and confident of Christ's final victory and glory. He still sings hymns and psalms joyously, continues to search the scriptures, leads us all in the study of the word, encouraging us, though we think we should be the ones to encourage him. And we do. For as we grow in Christ, he is so lifted up. Aristarchus continues to be with Paul, as he has for years now. Paul has forgiven Mark for leaving Barnabas and Paul on their first gospel journey through Asia, and Paul and Mark are now encouraging each other. Jesus, you may know him as Justice, is a fellow Jew who is also with Paul. Demas and Luke are also with him constantly. Luke, you know, has traveled with Paul, Aristarchus, and I across Asia for a long time and is busy faithfully writing down all that has occurred on our gospel journeys to encourage generations to come. He has this idea of interviewing anyone that met Jesus, and he has become our own historian for our journeys. While Paul doesn't know most of you personally, he was so encouraged by Epaphras' telling of your growth in Christ. Paul was so thankful to God for opening your hearts to understand the gospel. Thanksgiving to God characterizes Paul's life. He was praying for you constantly and thanking God for you. He was praying for you constantly and thanking God for you constantly and couldn't wait to write you a letter of encouragement. He also wanted to help you work through some concerns Epaphras brought to him. If he could, he would have put his arms around you and given you a holy hug and reminded you to walk in a manner worthy of your Savior, Jesus the Christ, the one who has reconciled you to God, though you were dead in your sins. In his thanks, Paul distinguishes who he thanks. It's God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father reconciled us by sending his Son. The Son reconciled us by carrying out the Father's will. But it's the Father that Paul thanks. Epaphras has told us about this new church, full of both Jew and Gentile, living together in Christ. This is a new creation in Christ. Yet some are bringing in their old ideas. The Jews are imposing observations of new moons and appointed feasts as if this is the same old Jewish worship. Apart from God, they observe these feasts, but they don't have the thanks to God in that. Isaiah told us a long ago that God doesn't want these kind of meaningless observations. Don't be taken in by this. Some of your learned people insist on avoiding all forms of indulgence. No chocolate, no coffee, no sports or hobbies. Some continue to insist on worshiping angels, buying all sorts of angelic ornaments. Some make themselves out to be more religious, talking about visions with incredible detail. Paul would warn you, these people are just puffing themselves up with earthly wisdom, not the wisdom from above. Oh, Paul would just want to put his arm around you, pull you close, and talk about holding fast to Christ. reminding you that he died to pay for your sins, that through his blood and resurrection he reconciled you to God the Father, that you may put Christ first in all things. Remember this and you'll be thankful from your heart. These other things that Epaphras was talking about, the new moons, asceticisms, withholding yourself from things, are just man-made religion. These are the very sin that drives you away from Christ. The very sin Christ paid the price for through his death. Die to this. Live to Christ. Be thankful to God for helping you see the truth. Paul is confined to his house, a small house with four walls and a guard at the door. It would be easy to be depressed, but he doesn't focus on angels or depriving himself of food or worry about the holidays he is missing or telling us about visions. No, he focuses on Christ. Christ's work, his message, who Christ is, what Christ is doing, what Christ will do, the hope that Christ gives us. With his heartfelt understanding of this, Paul naturally falls into thanking God. And that thankfulness to God drives how he walks. Everything about Paul is Christ. Christ is all in all for Paul, and that is what gives him joy. And telling others about Christ, bringing in the Jewish leaders, telling his guards of the gospel about Christ, that's what gives him joy. Paul knows Christ created this world and everything in it, including the angels. Paul knows the angels will bow before Christ and that the prince of this world will bow before Christ, for they were created by him and for him. It is to Christ we worship, not these creations. And Paul knows that in Christ's resurrection, he became head of a new creation, the church. And as part of this church, we all follow Christ. Paul is powered by this knowledge. He has put off his old self, the persecutor of the church. There was probably no better persecutor of the church. And he is now powered by the knowledge of God's Christ and his Creator and how he has reconciled us. Even in bondage, Paul is the epitome of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. He is patient. He bears all things. He forgives as he forgave Mark. He has the power of love and unity with all Christians, the power to thrive in bondage. Power from remembering what God has done for him and being thankful to him. Paul's insight about God through the scriptures is just amazing. When questioned about how he sees things, Paul is always quick to point out it is the Holy Spirit who helps him see this. And then he points out to us, we too, in Christ, have that same Holy Spirit. And that with diligence, we too can see how God, through the Holy Spirit, has written about Christ in the scriptures. And through this, we can grow in our knowledge of God and his will. Why would we want to know about his will? Well, when you're thankful to someone, you want to help them carry out his will. He reminds us we don't become more holy or closer to God by eating certain foods, and we don't become holy, more holy or closer to God by not eating certain foods or by denying ourselves of food. Rather, we need to keep Christ preeminent in our lives, and we do that by thanking God. With Paul, thankful is more than a word. It's an attitude that permeates and fills his thoughts and actions and should permeate and fill our thoughts and actions. Paul is constantly reminding us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord of his gospel. If you're thankful, you walk in a manner worthy of that person to whom you are thankful. What does it mean by walking in a manner worthy? Well, here's things that he's written to you in his letter. Yes, I peeked. First of all, being thankful, there's a source of that thankfulness. And that's being joyously, overflowingly, source of being empowered to walk in a manner worthy of God. And that source is being thankful, joyously, overflowingly, and giving thanks to God. For it is God who enlightens our hearts that we may see him. Without God, we are dead, locked in a life of sin without God. But God reconciles us to him. He makes us alive, able to see him, to know him. Thank God always for yourselves and for others. That is the source of the ability to walk in a manner worthy of Christ. Paul goes on to list a number of manifestations of walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. It isn't just doing these things, but thankful leads you to observe these things and to act them out. The first thing he'll bring up is to increase in your knowledge of God. By this, you will know his will and you will work to please him in all respects, knowing he is your master. This will also give you a stability and assurance in your faith. And he will tell you to enjoy the riches of that assurance. When you have assurance that can't be shaken, all these other things can come in and try to shake you off the world, but they don't go. When you're thankful and you know what you're thankful for. When we are thankful to someone, we show it by doing their will. Know his will. Grow in knowledge of him. Walk in Christ. Place Christ preeminent in your thoughts and your deeds. Replace this world with Christ. Don't be caught by human philosophy and empty deception. Hold on to Christ, for in him all of God dwells. Hold on to Christ and you'll hold on to God. Be united in peace and love, holding fast to the head of the church, who is Christ. Continue in faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting to other gospels, but holding fast to the hope of the gospel in Christ. Put to death earthly things, put on the image of Christ, put on love, which binds things together. Devote yourselves to prayer, always giving thanks. Pray for his gospel to spread through the world. These are ways that you can walk in a manner worthy of your Savior, Christ. When I think of how Paul is doing, I think of thankfulness to God. What is thankfulness? It's so much more than just a word. It's a driving response to God for faith, love, and hope, things that God gives us. What is thankfulness? Well, when we try to figure out what that is, we start with who is Christ? Christ is the image of God, personified with the fullness of God dwelling within him. Christ is the creator of this world. He is preeminent in all created things. All things were created by him and for him. He is superior above all created beings and authority, whether on this earth or in the spiritual realm. All things hold together through him. Through his resurrection, he is the head of the church. That's who Christ is. But what is thankfulness? We start with who he is, and now we think, take that same person of who he is, and what did he do? Christ reconciled us to God. He returned us to the Garden of Eden, where man was in relation with God, and it was very good. Man walking with God. He has taken us from death to life. He has taken us from alienated from God and hostile to God and doing evil deeds and reconciled us to present us holy and blameless before God. In Christ, we were buried with him in baptism and raised with him through faith, just as he was raised from the dead through the powerful working of God. We were dead. God made us alive with that same power. We have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. So the creator of this world, he did this for us. And you can ask, all right, he did that. How did he do it? The creator of the world did this at a price. He did it by sacrificing himself. Through the blood of his cross, he made peace. He canceled out our certificate of a record of debt. He nailed it to the cross. Here's how much I owe you, Lord. It's gone. That debt of sin wiped out and forgiven. No more legal demands from any power or authority. He has put to shame anyone who demands legal obedience rather than faith in him. He did it through the power of the resurrection, giving us new lives. Yes, it is very good. How can we not be thankful when we realize this? When we look at the creator of the world, what he's done to reconcile us, the price he paid. When we realize that he has taken us from the domain of darkness and delivered us to live in the kingdom of his beloved Son in the light. That is an understanding that, having that knowledge should build an attitude that just permeates your life in thankfulness. Paul talks about how you can apply some of that. Paul thanks God for the faith, the love, and hope that you have. Paul recognizes God is the source and he is to be joyfully thanked. The faith Paul is thankful for, and he's thankful to God the Father for this, is a faith in Christ Jesus. A faith in Christ Jesus that is steadfast, it's a stable, yet it is a growing faith. Paul recognizes that faith comes from God the Father. The love Paul is thankful for is a love for all the saints. Love is of prime importance for us to exercise. It's a love which binds everything together in harmony. Love that knits together the whole church so that everyone is working to reach, help each other reach a full assurance and enjoy the riches of that full assurance. A stable faith, steadfast faith for all the church. Paul wants all the church working together in love to build our faith so that we can enjoy the riches of a stable faith. The hope that he is thankful for is the hope of the gospel, the hope laid up for you in heaven. The hope is the inheritance of the saints. It is the hope of glory that will come when Christ returns. Be thankful. Have thanksgiving in your heart. Give thanks to God in all you do or say. So how should we live in thanksgiving to God? Be steadfast and stable in your faith, standing on Christ alone, the one who is above all things and died for you. Let no one question your standing with God. Hold fast to him who nourishes the whole body, the church, who has knit it together in love and grows it with a growth that is from God. You want to know what his will is? That's his will, that we grow. Remember that with Christ, you died to the regulations of the world, the self-made religions. Remember that you have been raised with Christ through the power of God. So seek Christ, put to death your earthly desires, and as chosen of God, put on a new self, one made in the image of Christ. Be knit together in love in the church, structured as God has intended. Submit to those God has placed in authority. And if you are in authority, know that you too have a master in heaven who you are responsible to. Love those who are in your care. And remember, this is not natural. This is impossible. But all things are possible for God, and he has made it possible for us. In this, we joyously, overflowingly give thanks to God. And now, if you will permit me, let me read the letter that Paul has sent you, the church of Colossians. You know that this letter is from Paul because the return address says Paul, and it is written in his own handwriting. Not. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, which I became a minister and according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted up and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. All of these refer to things that all perish as they are used. Do not submit to those regulations according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to body. But they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, slander, malice, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service and people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. And there is no partiality. Masters, Philemon, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Tychicus will tell you about all my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts, and with Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning you whom you have received instruction, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her home. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you have fulfilled the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hands. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Remember his chains and remember his thankfulness, his joyous, abounding thankfulness that holds him together when he's in his chains. If you join me in prayer. Father, we are thankful to you for the faith that you have given us in Christ Jesus, for the love that you have given us for all the saints, helping each other to grow in our knowledge of you and in our assurance of our faith. We thank you for the hope that you've given us, the hope of glory, of life with Christ, and peace with you. We thank you that you have reconciled us and brought us back to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.